And how often do you meditate?
I try to meditate at least twice a day.
And how long do you meditate?
20 minutes, sometimes half an hour.
And what kind of meditation?
Sometimes I'll go longer if I can.
Okay. And how much meditation, what kind of meditation do you do? Are you just sitting in silence, or are you using any of the tools, or what do you do?
Well, sometimes I use the tools, but I just try to go deep, as I can to the
okay.
silence.
Okay. And then what happens when you come out of the silence? What happens to the rest of the day? Do you feel like you're carrying the silence?
Things. I can understand what you're saying about things flow and get taken care of. It's just becoming more
and then,
used
I'm
to
sorry,
being
I'm sorry, I'm asking you questions because I think it's nice to re-evaluate. Now, when you meditate the first time and the last time of the day, in between, do you go to your silence at all?
Once in a while I have an opportunity, you know, at work sometimes. But you mean as far as
just checking in and out?
Oh, checking in and out. What I've started to do now is sometimes I just go to try to center myself. Doing that more.
Okay. All right.
And I just go and go to center myself, and even though that's all I have an opportunity to do.
Okay.
I'm using that as a tool.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Yeah. Yeah. It's little by little. In the midst of a lot of work, become aware of your silence. When you really don't have time to become aware of it, that's when I would recommend you to do that. You don't have to stop what you're doing, but just go home. Even though nobody knows you're going home, go home. That will give you a boost. You see, a little bit of equilibrium. Because if you meditate twice a day and nothing in between, the difference is too much. So when you do that, you'll see that even you don't need as much meditation as you used to, just sitting down meditation, because you're doing it, you're becoming more and more aware of it, little by little. Whatever works right now, continue. But put that in there too, in your agenda.
About it was either last week or the week before, you mentioned something about it's better to not have plans or write them. Can you explain that? Because I didn't this week and it was better.
It works. When you plan, you're specifically giving yourself limitation, and that frustrates who you are. So right there, the mind becomes active to accomplish it in a more chaotic way. When your approach is that in the back of your mind you know what you have to do, but your approach is non-approach, and yet you know what is ahead of you when you get there, or before you get there, what happens is you're living by grace. That's what happens. And then, why is it working better? Because you are more in the rhythm of the self rather than chaotic orchestra of the mind. And it makes it smooth. I told, I don't want to say the name because I'm sure that person will watch it. I told someone that, sweetheart, why are you so anxious about whatever task that person had? And he said, well, you know, some people have to, because there is so much to do, you know? And I said, do you want me to explain to you why this works? And the person was not ready, so I let it go. And that person ended up someplace that actually that was what people were doing. And he came and said, you were right. It really does work. And the excuses that I get is that I'm too busy. Well, if you're too busy, you're too busy. Do something about it. Or I don't have time because this is being too active. That's what the people are really communicating, is I'm mentally very active. It works. How about you, Kathy? Do you have any question?
No, I do that all the time, but I drive down nuts. You know, because it's like I don't know what I'm doing when I'm doing it, and it does to the last 5 minutes.
Good for you.
That's how I live, but it's like, it's very challenging for him, and I feel, God, if I'd be the other way around, it would be very difficult, because he, when he has everything organized, he, that's a safety field. That's safety to him. And if I have everything organized that way, I feel strangled, like spirit can't get in.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's like, I need to
help. Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, for him to be, it's very
well,
hard.
It's sometimes easier and sometimes it's not. You know, the opposite of organized is messy, but we're not talking about either one of them, right?
No.
We are talking about not taking thought and having trust that what it is, the I that is the I that is the doer in the first place. So why bother with the gymnastic of the mind? But like you said, for some people it's impossible because the way their disposition is. Or the willingness to try it.
Well, he goes with me, but it's like I really feel bad because I mean, I just know I was me. I go, you know, like I really love you.
Yeah, it is hard. My parents have a hard time with that too, but they've learned now. And finally, they had to leave their selves in my hand. When we go on a trip, they don't even say. Because they know they're going to have a nervous breakdown if they go with my system.
Yeah.
So they say, you know what? You take over.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I say, I take care of everything. Just don't worry. Yeah. Well, that was a very, very nice. Yes, go for it.
So what happened with me becoming the flame? Was that more of one is all is one?
Well,
so was it
when you concentrate on the flame vigorously, there is this the sense of existence as we know it take a back seat, and there is a oneness that goes on. And that is true if you even look at the wall long enough, the differences will go away, and what is, and there is emergence. Like, sometimes when you're meditating, you feel like you merge into your seat and your carpet and,
mm-hmm.
and your wall, and because there is not, you didn't take differences with you. But also, the reason I didn't correct you, because that was just good and it was a divine experience. But if you want to do this exercise that I'm saying, even though you're looking at the flame, but all your attention is to find the seer and get a glimpse of that. So yes, when your attention shifts, is again, you see the process of seeing, but...
kind of the same thing happens when I noticed the watcher before.
Yes.
It kind of started going away, but when I noticed I was the flame, or realized that I was...
Yeah.
Instead the flame, I was the flame.
Yeah.
It started going away, and then I...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so
that's
like,
right. That's
oh,
right.
This is neat.
Yeah, that's right. It is like this.
So just concentrate
and,
on that.
Yeah, and also another thing, Joanna, is that when you go, we are going through the your day, contemplate also. Contemplate on the things that puzzles you, or contemplate the things that are fascinating you. This is the mind that is taught to go deeper. And then it will not sit on the pond that is not acceptable to sit on.
Well, on that topic of when is all and all is one, so what happens when we kill an ant or a mouse or something like that?
When you are as a human being, as a human being, listen to this very carefully, as a human being, it's best to not kill an animal.
Right.
Unless it's life-threatening or unless it is inside of your home and is getting out of hand. You can pick it up and put it out or kill it. That's fine. Yes. As a divine being, when you know who you are, listen to this. If you kill it was the right thing, if you didn't kill it is the right thing.
Okay.
And that is the truth.
I just feel
because
sad.
You will only be directed what it, to ones that are needed to be killed at that moment.
A lot of times when I make a decision, I do the flip-flop and I get all guilty. I feel bad about it.
Baba says, "What if they are inside of your house, you can kill them." But he doesn't mean our dog. But but if it's outside, if it's inside, you can kill it. But outside, leave him alone.
Well, yeah, of course.
We used to do that. But I tell you something really extraordinary, and I'm sure it has happened to some of you. But because you brought the animals out, so as a human being. If you can help it, help it. If you cannot, kill it. If you see a black widow, you're too scared to pick it up, say, "I'm sorry, but, you know, I have no choice," and then do
so
it quick.
I apologize. I know.
This gentleman, if I don't rescue animals inside of our house, he takes a shoe, and he doesn't kill him. He disintegrate them. You see pieces on the wall. It's like with a vengeance. But that's self-perseverance. I mean, preserving the self. So, like I said, you get when everything changes in you, you know, unbeknown to yourself, some stuff happens and you're no longer the person you were before, and that person had died with the ego and the body consciousness, you will kill things that you never thought you would kill, and because they needed to be killed, not that you want to. What I'm trying to say is that you save when you save, you kill when you kill. But some years, does anybody have a problem with that?
You've calmed down since you talked to Aizel when he was little. Remember that?
Yeah, I told my children, I said, if you kill anything outside of the house, you have to eat it. Remember? And I think I told this story. And some years later, just a few years ago, we were sharing on Christmas Day and about our childhood. And my son said, for the first time, which just threw a chill over me, says, "You have no idea how many incense I ate." I said, honey, why? He said, "Because I was tempted and I killed them. I had to eat them." And we were all vegetarians. But the story I was going to say that you might try and you probably might have already is that one time we went to Lake Tahoe, and that happened many, many times. But the first time that happened, my mom and my father, the house was cold. We turned on the heater. We went upstairs. The whole upstairs was taken over by ants, big ants, not a small one. You know those dinky one in Reno? This was big. And they were trailing after each other all over the place, on the counter, on the floor, everywhere. So my mom, being an Iranian wife, which they do kill things in the house and outside sometimes, she said, "Okay, let's spray them." Richard go to the store and get a spray? And I said, "No. Why don't we take one at a time and put him outside?" My father looked at me and says, "I'm not doing this. You're on your own on that," because they were all over the place. So I said, "Let's do it for a couple of hours, only for a couple of hours." So we start picking him out. And so finally this finished. And I said, "Okay, if they don't go by tomorrow, we kill them all." But I sat on my bed and I said, "Listen, I'm giving you a warning." And honest to God, I said, "The way you came, you know how you came. You're a very smart animal. I want you to go before we wake up."